In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Good morning, welcome. Glad you're here at Catalyst. How many of you have gone out already and seen some Christmas lights? Gone out and went to houses? I know there is a group last night that I know that went to Naples, right here in Long Beach, and went and saw some of the lights, the Christmas lights in the houses. I like seeing Christmas lights. I think it's really cool. It's really uplifting. And I have some pictures here of like some of the best Christmas lights, house decorated lights. I don't know what year this was, but so here's one. Let's see another next one. This one right here, the man who owns this house, he spent about $25,000 to decorate his house. And then we have a third one, a fourth one, I think. Is there any Disney characters? I don't see any Disney characters. Must not be in Southern Cal, but and let's have the last one. So whenever I see Christmas lights, it's like that song, right? All is merry and bright. It's kind of uplifting. It's kind of like makes you smile. And so lights are cool. The decorations are cool. And it seems like I see a lot more decorations out there, especially those blow-up things. It seems like they're all over the place now. But did you know that prior to the very, very first Christmas, all was not merry and bright? In fact, it was dark, depressing, and gloomy. It was a very dark time in the world and in Israel, where Jesus was to be born. First, it was very spiritually dark. It was a very spiritually dark time. As Pastor Ross shared last Sunday, that for 400 years, there was no word of the Lord. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, right, was about 400, give or take, B.C. And that was the last book of the Bible. That was the last prophet for 400 years. And it was through the prophet that God spoke to his people. He gave the word of the Lord to his people through the prophet. And that he had ended, it was silent for 400 years. So for us, it would be like, 40 years would be like the pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock on the Mayflower. That's how much time had elapsed from the end of the book of Malachi to New Testament times, all right, or Jesus' birth. Okay, so it was very dark time. And since the people, since the Jews, right, there was no word of the Lord, and their faith became traditions. It became rules. It became following things of old. But spiritually, things were very dark. Also, politically, things were very dark, right? As Ross talked about last week, Rome, the Roman Empire was in full force, right? They had conquered much of the civilized world, at least, not Asia, but at least in the Middle East, Europe, North Africa, was under Roman rule. And yes, there were no wars at that time, but Roman rule was very oppressive, right? They had soldiers everywhere to keep the peace, right? And they laid heavy, heavy taxes upon the people. In fact, some scholars believe their tax rate, you think our tax rate is bad? Their tax rate was 50 to 60%. And most of them were, it was an agricultural society, And so most of them would have to give that 50-60% in produce, whatever they raised, livestock, whatever, they would have to give to the Roman government. And so it was very oppressive. Not only that, locally in Israel, they had King Herod. Now, King Herod, he was an immoral, ruthless, evil man. Let me give you some examples of how evil and ruthless he was. He wasn't even a Jew. He was descended from the Edomites, but he took a Jewish wife and he had two sons. But later on, because of his paranoia about being unseated and overthrown, he had his wife and his two sons killed because he was worried about them rising up and taking his position. When he first ascended to power, he had 45 opposition priests, the Sadducees, 45 Sadducees killed because he was threatened by them. And then we know around the time of Jesus' birth, he had heard and knew about the prophecy of a king of the Jews being born. And he was so fearful of this baby that was to be born, when the wise men came to inquire, he got scared. And so you know what he did? He had all the baby boys under two killed in the region. Every single baby boy, can you imagine that? He sent out soldiers, they went around, and that like cuts me to the quick, right? Because my grandson is less than two. They would have taken him and killed him. That's how ruthless. Can you imagine this kind of man? This kind of king? So it was very politically dark. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of confusion. A lot of darkness. We kind of have a little bit of taste of that today in our society. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of turmoil. A lot of darkness. And it was socially very dark too. Within the Jewish community, there was a lot of different factions. In fact, there was four main factions that were vying for power. There was the Pharisees, there was the Sadducees, there was the Essenes, and there was the Zealots. And all had a different agenda, different approach, different belief and conviction about how they should live their life, what kind of society they should form, and how they should either work with or try to overthrow the Roman government. And so there was a lot of friction. There was a lot of division. There was a lot of fighting. Riots were very common in those days. And the atmosphere was very tense. Kind of sounds a little familiar to me, right? Socially, things seem very divided. People are taking different sides. Very tense. So the atmosphere prior to the first Christmas was dark, heavy, oppressive. And people felt the burden of that environment. And it's into this spiritual, political, social darkness that Jesus breaks in. God shines his light right in the midst of that darkness. And he shines the brightest light of hope and love that could have ever been seen. He sends Jesus, and Jesus comes into the world. Now, we'll see this through the story of the shepherds. We're going to look at the shepherds. We sang about the shepherds. We're going to look at the shepherds today. So, if you have Bibles, you can look up here. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I found this fascinating because, you know, I've been going to church for 60 years, ever since, even before I was born. In my mom's womb, I was going to church, right? And so I've been a shepherd, I don't know how many times, dressed up, the little cage, right? And lo, right? And angel, reciting those things. For 60 years, I know about the shepherds. But this past week, I learned something very interesting and new about the shepherds. So let's look, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flock of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord, try to picture this in your mind as I'm reading. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Typically, the way shepherds were viewed at that time, and for us, whenever we've heard the story of the shepherds, whenever you've heard preaching about the shepherds, typically the shepherds were considered to be the bottom, kind of the bottom of the social strata, right? They were the low person on the totem pole. Now, some of that attitude at the time amongst the Jewish community, it probably came from all the way from when they were back slaves in Egypt. Because for the Egyptians, shepherds were like disgusting. They were like the low man. And we see this when Joseph, if you know the story about Joseph, right? He's the one with the coat of many colors, and his brother sells him into slavery, and he has his journey and his ups and downs in Egypt, but he rises to be the second most powerful person in Egypt. And then his brothers come because there's a famine, and they did him wrong, and so, right, all these things happen. And then finally, at the end, right, Joseph is reconciled to his brothers. They had this big reconciliation. And then Joseph is about to introduce his brothers to Pharaoh. This is kind of the end of the story. And then look, this is what happened. This is where Joseph is giving some instructions to the brothers about when they meet Pharaoh. So this is in Genesis 46, 33-34. Then he said, this is Joseph talking to his brothers, "When Pharaoh calls you and asks you about your occupation, you must tell him, 'We, your servants, have raised livestock all our lives, as our ancestors have always done.' When you tell them this, he will let you live here in the region of Goshen, for the Egyptians despise shepherds." So essentially what Joseph is saying is, he will have you live in the pasture lands of Goshen because the civilized, cultured Egyptians look down on the lowly, dirty, low-class shepherds. So he says he's going to have you live here for your safety because the Egyptians despise shepherds. And so some of that attitude, after living 400 years in Egypt, I'm sure some of that attitude rubbed off. To the shepherd. Heart for the lowly, right? God's heart for those on the fringe. God's heart for the shepherds. And to shame the wise, to shame to the religious elite, right? To shame the wealthy, God goes first to the shepherds. Now that's true. That's true, but as I mentioned, I discovered a really fascinating, interesting other insight about the shepherds. Okay, and part of this comes from research and comes from what's called the Mishnah. You guys know what the Mishnah is? Nope. Okay, let me tell you. The Mishnah was like the oral tradition of the Jews that was passed on from generation to generation to generation. It was their take, their understanding of how to live in the practical everyday life according to the Old Testament law. So it was like their guidebook, their oral manual, their oral instructions about how to live according to Old Testament law. It wasn't actually written down until about 3rd century AD, right, or CE, after Christ, but their oral tradition was very strong and was passed on faithfully from generation to generation to generation, right? This is what the Mishnah, the oral tradition of the Mishnah was at that time, right? And I have it right here. The Mishnah expressly forbids the keeping of flocks throughout the land of Israel, except in the wilderness. So shepherds could not keep their flock around near cities or towns, but they would have to go out to the wilderness. Why? Because shepherds were considered lowly and the animals were dirty. So you could shepherd, but you have to take them way out into the wilderness, right? And we, all right, go out to Barstow or something, right? No offense to Barstow, but go out to Barstow. Okay, that's where you have to, if you want to be a shepherd, yeah, you go out to Barstow, and that's where you go. And the only flocks otherwise kept, so the only exception to this rule would be those for the temple services. In other words, if you want to be a shepherd, you've got to go out to the wilderness. The only exception were those that were taking care of sheep that were being raised and groomed and unblemished sheep for the purpose of temple sacrifices, and specifically for Passover. So we can conclude these shepherds, they were in the area between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, which is only about 5 miles. I've been there. I've driven from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Only about 5 miles. They were in the pasture fields outside of Jerusalem, in between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. But according to this, they couldn't just be regular shepherds. So who were they? Who were these shepherds? They were probably priests. Priests who were assigned shepherding duties for the purpose of properly birthing and raising lambs for the sacrifice of Passover. And so this is incredible, right? This insight, I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Because God sends his angels to announce the birth to these special shepherds who care for and kind of certify the lambs are unblemished and fit for Passover sacrifice. So they appear to these shepherds, announcing the birth of Jesus, shining the light of God's plan, His love, His grace, His forgiveness, His very Son, announcing that to these shepherds. And what do? They go to witness the birth of the Lamb, to certify, yes, this is God's Lamb, the Son of God, who will take away the sins of the world. Not only that, the angels say, right, this will be the sign. You will find the baby wrapped in, this says strips of cloth, but swaddling clothes, and lying in the manger. When the priests birth lambs as shepherd doing their shepherd duty, you know what they would do with the lambs? They would wrap the lambs in swaddling cloth and put them in the manger until they could calm down from the trauma of the birth. And so they knew very well what they were looking at. It was the confirmation to them that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I thought, oh my gosh, I never knew that for 60 years. How awesome God is, right? How awesome God is that He orchestrates all these things so the right people He appears to in order for them to validate and certify this is God's Lamb. Amazing. After 400 years of silence, God speaks. God speaks into this darkness, spiritual darkness, political darkness, social darkness. God speaks, and His angels appear to the shepherds. And they say, I bring you a good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.